Glad to have Noel. I'm going to ask him to come bring God's word tonight, please.
If you have your Bibles, we want to turn to Isaiah and the chapter 57, the chapter that we read together. Good to see so many out tonight, and we trust the Lord will bless us around his word. The book of Isaiah and the chapter 57. Let's look to the Lord and ask for his help tonight. Father in heaven, we thank you tonight. We're gathered together in this fashion. We're glad this door is open to preach Christ and him crucified, to present, Lord, the gospel of saving grace before men and women and boys and girls. And we pray now for help to preach the word that you've laid upon our heart. I pray, Lord, that thy word will find a resting place even in the hearts of the unconverted tonight, that thou will arrest them in their sins and thou will bring them down to the feet of Jesus. May they look to the Lamb of God tonight, which taketh away the sin of the world. Lord, do these things and glorify thy great name. In Jesus' name. Amen. The text tonight is one word that is found in Isaiah and the chapter 57 and verse 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. Eternity. That is our text for tonight. A very solemn text and a very simple text. And I'm sure if you go home from this meeting tonight and someone says to you, well, what did Noel preach tonight at the gospel service? I trust from the very youngest to the oldest will be able to remember the text, because it is the text, eternity. Now, the story is told about a French preacher called Stephen Gellett. He was born in France but moved to America. After his conversion to Christ, he preached the gospel boldly. It is said of this man of God that he learnt language after language because he wanted to be able to preach the gospel to as many nations and as many people as possible. And therefore he studied and he learned different languages. It is recorded he stood before emperors and kings. He went into prison houses, workshops. No matter where it was, he went to preach the gospel of Christ. Not without a cost. His life was that he was persecuted by the enemies of the cross. He was nearly hanged, it was recorded in France, to a lamppost. Twice he faced death by drowning. Twice he fell into the hands of parrots. He was led low and low again by plagues and illness. But nothing stopped him. Here was a man who had been saved by the grace of God. No one held him back. Despite the enemies, he went on preaching Christ to different people. But how did it all begin? How did this man that was born in France get saved? Well, he got saved in America. And he tells about a time that he was walking through the forest and through the fields, wasn't thinking about anything to do with God. And as he walked there, he tells us that in a moment, suddenly before his eyes and his ears, as if the trees, the grass, the wind that was blowing was saying one word, eternity, eternity, and eternity. He says, it reached my very soul. My whole man shook. It brought me like Saul to the ground. The great depravity and sinfulness of my heart was set open before me. And here's a man suddenly walking through life, not thinking about God, not thinking about Christ, not thinking about a soul. In one moment, he was brought face to face with eternity. Eternity! 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 That's all that he heard, and he fell to the ground on his knees. He said that after this, he began to read the Bible. I saw that there was one who was able to save me. I saw the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. I felt faith in His atoning blood. Floods of tears and joy and gratitude give vent to the fullness of my heart. And all through one word, a word that reached my very soul, shook my whole man, brought me to the ground. That word, he says, was eternity. Eternity. One word from God. The word of God came to him with great power. Eternity. The word that is found here in Isaiah 57 and the verse 15. Maybe you're in here tonight and you say, no, well, I never think about eternity. I never really think about God. I never really think about my soul. But maybe tonight, one word, that's all God needs. One word can bring you to your knees. One word can bring you to Christ. One word from God can bring you to salvation. And it's this word. It is the word eternity. I want us to look at this one word. This great word that is found in the Bible, called eternity. I want to speak first of all about this period called eternity. And I want this great biblical truth to sink down deep into the hearts of everyone gathered here. From the very youngest to the very oldest. I want you to remember this tonight, that you heard this in Mourne Free Presbyterian Church, that there is a period of time and it's called eternity. It's called eternity. What is the meaning of this period? Now this word eternity, and I want you to notice this tonight, is only found once in the Bible. If you mark your Bible, you could do well to underline or circle that word in Isaiah 57 and verse 15. In our English translation, that's the only time this word is found in the Bible. Eternity. And yet while it's only found once in an English form of eternity, in other passages it is translated by a different word. Take for instance in Exodus 15 and verse 18, it says, the Lord shall reign, and then it said this, forever and ever. And that word ever is the same word here in Isaiah 57. It is the word eternity. In Psalm 132 and verse 12, it says, if thy children will keep my covenant and my testimony, that I shall teach them, their children shall sit upon my throne. And then it said this word, forevermore. Forevermore, that's the same word as eternity. In Isaiah 9 and verse 6, speaking about names given to Christ, Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. And the word everlasting is the same word for eternity. In Isaiah 45 and verse 17, it says, but Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Ye shall not be ashamed nor confounded. And then it said this, world without end. And that word, world without end, is the same word as eternity. Now, easily we can see here the meaning of this word eternity. It means forever. It means, dear friends, evermore. And when we come to the Bible, we see it means everlasting. And when we come to God's Word, we see that it means without end. And therefore, when we speak of this period of time called eternity, it's speaking about a period of time that will never end. No beginning and no ending, friends. And I want you to know tonight, there's a period of time, and it's called eternity. A place, a time that will last forevermore. A period of time that has no end. And everybody in this meeting is going to it. Everybody in this meeting is going to eternity. This period called eternity. Think of the mention of this period. How do we know there is such a period of time? Well, I can say that the only reason tonight really is the Bible. That's the testimony of the Scriptures. I'm sure everybody in this meeting tonight believes that the very book on their lap, The one that you're holding tonight on your knee and in your hand, it is the Word of God. Then how do we know tonight there is a period called eternity? How do we know tonight there is a time coming that will never end? How do we know tonight there is a period of time that is everlasting?
Because the Bible says it. The Bible speaks about eternity. God that inhabiteth eternity. That's a testimony of the Scriptures.
In Mark 10 verse 30. And in the world to come eternal life. And according to this book. And according to this Bible. It tells us about a world to come. This old world, friend, is not the end. There is a world to come. And the world to come is eternity. That's the teaching of the Bible. In Revelation 10 and verse 6. It tells us about the angel, and he was speaking, and he said that there should be time no longer. And what time is he speaking about? Oh, the testimony of the Scriptures is this: eternity. Eternity.
There's a time to come called eternity. You think a testimony of the saints of God in the Bible? Matter, dear friends, who you listen to from the pages.
We can listen to the Apostle Paul tonight, that man who was saved by the grace of God. And he says in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 1, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And he believed what? He believed in eternity. He believed in everlasting life.
He believed in this period of time. I can think of Peter. Peter, the one who denied Christ, listen. In 1 Peter 5, verse 10, but the God of grace who has called us unto his eternal glory, listen to the word eternity. Different form, eternal. He believed in it.
I can think of John in 1 John 2 and verse 25, and this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life. And when I listen to Paul, and when I listen to Peter, and when I listen to John, they're all speaking about eternity.
Eternity, friends. The mention of it. Matthew Henry said, this world is our passage, not our portion. And listen, this word is our passage. Where to?
Where to, friends? This life that you and I are living tonight, where is this passage taking us tonight? Well, I'll tell you tonight, according to the Bible, it's taken us into eternity.
That's where we're going. That's a testimony of Scriptures.
Testimony of the Savior. It's a testimony of the Savior. It's recorded that 14 times the Lord Jesus uttered the words everlasting. He spoke about the eternal state that all men and women will find themselves when they die.
You think of Luke 18, verse 30. Who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come life everlasting.
In Mark 12, verse 32, he says about forgiveness, neither in the world to come. And so he speaks about what? The world to come. The Lord Jesus Christ then mentions eternity. He shows us very, very clearly there is a world to come, everlasting, he says.
Oh, dear friend, the mention of this period. Many witnesses speaks about eternity. That's the testimony of the Bible.
That's the testimony of the saints of God. This is the testimony of the Savior. He speaks about the world to come. He speaks about eternity.
So did Peter. So did Paul, and so did John. Dear friends, there is an eternity. Think of the ancient Egyptians. What did they do when when someone died? They embalmed it, wrapped it all up carefully, put it into a cupboard. Why did these Egyptians take such care to embalm a body? Well, they tell us that they wanted to preserve it for the next world.
That's why. That's why they had their tombs and apartments, friends. Because they were keeping the body from decay. That's why they closed them up. That's why they embalmed them. Because they believed in the world to come.
They believed in eternity.
Oh, dear friends, can I say to you tonight, do you believe in eternity? You see, the mention of this period is in the Bible. It comes from the lips of the saints of God. It comes from the lips of Christ, you see. Eternity. That's the mention of this period. Think of the moment to this period. A lot of people tonight think that eternity is a long way away. That's the problem with people tonight. That's the problem tonight with people who's living a life of sin. That's the problem tonight with young people. They think they're going to live on and on and on in this world. But I want you to know tonight that eternity is very close. Eternity is very close to us, friends. It is only a heartbeat away. That's how close we are to this period. I think of those wonderful words in Job 14 and verse 10. And he said this, but man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost. And where is he? And here's Job, this old saint of God, telling us that man is going to die. He's going into the grave. He wasteth away. He giveth up the ghost. And where is he? He said, where is he? Where is the one who died? He's in eternity. That's where he is. He's in eternity, friends. You see, the moment of this period is very, very close. Heartbeat away. Death. Eternity. For every one of us. And 100 years from now, I may be wrong, but I reckon I'm not before wrong in this statement. Everybody in this meeting will be in eternity. Can I bring it down a bit? 50 years from now, a lot of us, majority of us, will be in eternity. 40 years, can we bring it on down? Can we bring it down to 30 years? 20 years? 10 years' time? What is 10 years? I have no doubt tonight. Within 10 years, there are people in this congregation tonight will be in eternity. Can we bring it down to 1 year? Can we bring it down? I think we can. There are deaths in this congregation every year. Every year we're in the graveyard out the back of this church because someone we love, someone has been taken away from this congregation, and they find themselves in eternity. Eternity is closer than you think. Oh, friends, it's not far away. After death, friends, eternity. Yes, we've been looking at this period of time called eternity. You're close to it. Listen, tonight, we're all heading to eternity. We're all going into this place of the world will never end. This time structure that is everlasting. Eternity. Friends, eternity. I want to speak secondly, and very simply tonight, about the places in eternity. We're going to eternity. That is correct. That's the teaching of Christ, the teaching of the saints of God, the teaching of the Bible. We're all going to eternity. Well, the places in eternity. Now, according to this book, and I believe the Bible tonight, as I have said, is the Word of God. According to the Bible, there are only two places. Two places after the grave. Two abiding places where all mankind will dwell forever. One of them is called heaven. One of them is called heaven, friends. You know, that is God's everlasting kingdom for His people. Think of Peter in 2 Peter 1 verse 11. Right into the saints of God, he said, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Peter, right into these saints who were suffering for the faith, And he reminds them, well, of this great hope that was before them. You're going to be brought in, what? Into the everlasting kingdom. You're going to be brought to glory. You're going to be brought to heaven. You see, there is heaven in eternity. That place is called home. We sing that old hymn, "We're going home to glory soon." Remember the Lord Jesus Christ in John 14 and verse 2, he says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you." And the Lord Jesus is speaking what? About eternity. He is speaking about heaven, and he says here, well, it's called the Father's house. That's where God brings all his children. We were singing something about that. There's coming a day. There's coming a day, isn't there? And we'll look upon his face, and we'll tell the story saved by grace times. You see, this place is called home. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 1, Paul says, "We know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house, not made with hands, eternal word in the heavens." He's speaking here about eternity. He's speaking here about his home. And he says, "We have an house eternal in the heavens." You know, heaven is the eternal home of God's dear child. That's where I'm going. That's where God's gathering all of his children. And he's bringing them all to glory. And he's bringing them all to himself. And he's bringing them all home. Heaven, this place is home. This place is huge. Because when eternity draws, and it soon will be, what a multitude will be in heaven. I hear people saying sometimes there'll not be too many people in heaven. Well, I don't hold to that at all. I believe there's a great multitude going to heaven. How do we know that? Well, the Bible says it. Because in Revelation 7 and verse 9, he says, "And I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number." And John saw this great vision, and he saw people, well, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. And here was John. He saw these people in heaven. And how did he describe them? He said, well, a great multitude which no man could number. Oh dear friends, there were people from different nations and kindreds and people and tongues. But what a place it is. Saints from every age, saints from every part of the world, gathered together in the kingdom of heaven. You see, this place is huge. Heaven, God's place, God's home. You know, dear friends, this place is happy. What a place heaven will be. I meet people in door-to-door work, and they start to tell me about, well, how they would nearly doubt God because of all the troubles in the world, because of the problems and the deaths and the sorrows and troubles that they have. And I said to them, well, you know, in this world, we'll have troubles. And there will be sorrow. And you know, there will be death. But the world to come, heaven, there'll be none. Friends, there'll be none. And Revelation 21, verse 4, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, neither shall be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And here it tells us about God coming to this people, and he'll wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there'll be no more sorrow, and there'll be no more death, and there's no more crying. That's the world to come. You see, heaven's a happy place. There'll be peace forevermore. On that, dear friends, beautiful shore, what a day, glorious day that will be. It's a happy place. I read there will be praise there in Revelation 15, verse 3, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, "Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thy King of saints." And I hear them, Pete John could hear them singing, and they're praising God. And they're praising the Lamb. "And great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty." This multitude of people, where are they? They're in heaven. No tears. No sorrow, no death, no crying. And they're praising God with all of their heart, you see. You see, heaven's a happy place. There's coming a day when no heartache shall come. No more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All this peace forevermore on that happy golden shore we were singing. What a day. Glorious day that'll be. God's people's going to heaven. Praise and peace forevermore. It's a holy place as well, because in Revelation 21 and verse 27, and there's no wise enter into it anything that defileth. Not a whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life, there shall in no wise enter into it. And it speaks about sins here, and people who come before God in their filthiness, come before the Lord in their sin, there shall in no wise enter into it. And no account, says the Lord. There be no sin in heaven, friends. No wickedness, no stealing, no murders, no swearing. No, no, heaven's a holy place. When I read the Bible, you see, eternity, eternity, this word, this period of time is brought before us. I read about the places in eternity. I read about heaven, and Christ tells us about this place of comfort and peace and love and joy forever. That's the teaching of the Bible. Heaven. Eternity. Eternal life, friends. Eternal joy, eternal peace, to live with Christ forevermore. But the Bible doesn't end there, friends, because the Bible talks about another place. The Bible tonight tells us eternity. Yes, there is a period of time that is everlasting. But the Bible tells me about hell. That's another place. That's another place where people will find themselves, listen, in eternity. Will find themselves forevermore. Will find themselves there for everlasting. And there's hell. There's hell, you see. That's a dark place. In 2 Peter 2, verse 17, speaking about the apostates, these are wells without water, clouds that are carried with tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. What a gloomy place. The Lord Jesus talks about people cast into outer darkness. What a terrible place. What a dark, what a gloomy place is hell. The mist of darkness. Who likes darkness, friends? Terrifies people when they find themselves suddenly in darkness. Hell's a dark place. It's a place of torment as well. The Lord Jesus brings that for us in that well-known passage in Luke chapter 16. He talks about the rich man who died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. And he said in the end of verse 24, I am tormented in this flame. And send Lazarus down with a drop of water and cool my tongue, for I am being tormented. And here's a man who died, and it says, and in hell. He found himself in eternity. He found himself in this place called hell. And he says, well, I am tormented. He's being tormented. He was lost, you see. I'm tormented in this place. This place of torment, you see. It is a place of torment, friends. You can read in Revelation chapter 14 about people who followed the Antichrist. And he says of those, he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night. You see, it's a restless place. And the smoke of their torment rises up day and night. And they have no rest, because they have died in their sins, and they have found themselves lost for all eternity. Is hell not an awful place tonight? Matthew 22, verse 13. Then said the king to his servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping, listen, and gnashing of teeth. As it says in Isaiah 57, verse 21, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Oh, dear friends, the places in eternity, the Lord Jesus tells us, there is heaven and there is hell. Only two places for all eternity. I want you to know that tonight. There are only two places in eternity, heaven or hell. No purgatory. No middle ground, dear friends, on this issue. And everybody in this meeting, everybody in Kilkeel, everybody in Northern Ireland, everybody in the world, we're all going to eternity, to one of these places. All of us tonight's on a journey to eternity. Where are you going tonight? Are you going to heaven, friends? Are you going to this happy place, this holy place, for God and have of eternity, to dwell with God forevermore? Or are you tonight finding yourself on the way to hell? We're all going. And I know tonight people can close their ears on this message. I know there are people across Northern Ireland and England, where I served the Lord at one time, not interested. It makes no difference, friends, whether you're interested or not. Or the people outside the church tonight. We're all still going. They're all still going to eternity, friends. To heaven or to hell. The following words are written on a tombstone outside London. Passerby, stop and think. I'm in eternity. You're on the blink. Stop and think tonight. Where are you going? Where are you going tonight? Eternity, yes. But where? Whereabouts are you going to in eternity? Are you going to heaven tonight? Are you going to that place of peace and comfort and joy and love forevermore? Or tonight does it find you in your sin and heading down towards hell for all eternity? Remember this, as I said, a heartbeat away, friends. You're close tonight to eternity. And there, next Lord's Day comes in this church, there could be people tonight in eternity. Forevermore. Your next abode forever, friends. Not just for a few years here, but forever and ever and ever. The next place you'll be eternally is your everlasting abode. Wherever you spend eternity. Two places, friends. And we're all going tonight. We're all rushing on. The tree, or the train of life tonight, is rushing on faster and faster and faster as time goes on for every one of us, and we're all rushing tonight towards eternity, towards our everlasting abode. What is it for you tonight, heaven or hell, perhaps? The places in eternity. Can I say very quickly, the preparation for eternity. When this man, this preacher, when this word came before him, gripped his heart, he saw he was lost and heading towards a lost eternity. What did he do, friends? Well, he looked to Christ. Remember his words again, because he'd read the Bible this morning. He was faced with the eternal state. And he said, I saw that there was one who was able to save me. Not wonderful. Ah, he was gripped with fear about eternity. And he was going to be lost. And I saw there was one able to save me. They saw him to be the Lamb of God. They're taking away the sin of the world, friends. Not one of them. He looked to Jesus. He saw the Lord Jesus had died upon the cross. He had shed his blood. He had made one sacrifice for sin forever. He saw that Christ could save him. and the blood could cleanse him from all sin. And he put his faith in the Lord Jesus, and he cried for mercy. And every sin he had, friends, was all taken away. And he was saved. I saw there was one who was able to save, listen, me. He said, save me. He prepared for eternity. And that's what you need to make tonight, is preparation for eternity. See tonight that you're lost because all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. See tonight that you need to repent and turn from your sins, and you need to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And trust Christ only to save you. And emphasize those words. Only. I meet many Roman Catholics in door-to-door work. And they don't believe in Christ only. It's Christ in works. It's Christ in the chapel. And he said to many of them, well, who are you going to trust to save your soul? Your chapel? Yourself? Or Jesus? You see, salvation is trusting Jesus only. Letting go of all these other things, friends. Or self-righteousness. Letting go of our sins and looking to Christ, as this man saw the Lamb of God which taken away the sin of the world. And we must come to Christ. We must trust Him. We must be washed in His blood. And when you do that, you'll be prepared for eternity. And I'm glad 22 years now passed. The old account was settled long ago. I trusted Christ and I'm prepared. The Lord saved me. Tell me tonight in closing, are you prepared? Have you received Christ as your Savior? Have you turned from your sins? You must prepare, friends, for eternity. As one has said, too late is written on the gates of hell. Too late. When one dies in their sins and they find themselves lost and cast down into hell, too late. No more mercy. They've had their chance. Are you prepared, friends? Have you made preparation for your soul? People make preparation for everything else. Their school, their work, their homes, their farms, their business. All other things, they make preparation. Have you made preparation for eternity? Your everlasting abode, friends. Where will you spend eternity? Come to Christ tonight. Him that cometh to me, he says, I will no wise cast out. His blood can cleanse you from every sin. He gives you everlasting life. And you have preparation made. And if you die tonight, you'll be in heaven forevermore. All that the Lord tonight would write His word upon your heart. You want to speak with me and Mr. Mercer? Do speak with us tonight. And we trust that you'll come to Christ and trust Him tonight. We're going to sing a couple of verses of 256. 256. Where will you spend eternity? This question comes to you and me. 256. We're going to sing it. And we'll stand to sing our very best. Let's sing. let's all pray. Could I say again, if God has spoken to anyone's heart, that we are troubled tonight about your soul, that we are saying, well, it's time to settle this matter. Do you speak with me, Mr. Mercer? Do you call on the Lord where you stand tonight? We'd love to help you tonight to prepare for God's eternity and to be saved. The third verse said, leaving the straight and narrow way, going the downward road today, sad will our final ending be, lost throughout all eternity. Dear friends, we don't want you lost. We want you saved. We want you over there. God's people are praying tonight. We're going to pray now for you, that you might be saved. Oh, may God give you the grace tonight and to come to Christ. Father in heaven, write that one word upon all hearts tonight. Eternity. Eternity. Where shall he spend eternity? And I pray, Lord, that I will cause sinners tonight to tremble in their sins and to behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. And that they make preparation tonight, not just for time, but praise God forevermore. Close us now in with thyself. Keep on speaking, Lord, even when the voice of man is silent. Give thou and seeth no rest tonight till they make our peace with thee. And come to the Lord Jesus, who is the great Saviour and the Saviour of the world. Dismiss us now in thy fear and with thy blessing. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.